joining us today. Man, we're on a little series, and I know every time I say that, people smile and want to laugh a little bit. But I want to tell you, I think the more you laugh, the longer it's getting. So we may have to change the description. I want to tell you, in the day of battle that believers are in, and because we're in a battle for the mind, and the enemy, if the enemy can get your mind, then I want to tell you, he's got you in direction, okay? He's got you in emotions, if he can get your mind. And so there's a battle for the mind. So it's very, very important for us to recognize that the Lord is our protector, and to practice recognizing and receiving and responding to him as our divine protection. I have been kind of amazed at some of the pastors I've shared with just even in the last few months. Men of God, I'm not going to mention any names, but men of God, and some of them you probably recognize, that when I share with them some of what's in Psalm 91, have actually said to me, you know, I didn't know that was there. Really? Is that what it says? I'm just telling you. And so I want to tell you, it's a beautiful description of Jesus in Psalm 91. You see so much Jesus in Psalm 91. And that's what we encourage people to do. And when you get in the Word of God, you can't just read it like a newspaper. You can't just read it like a history book. You've got to look at those words and you've got to see Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Holy Spirit, I want to see Jesus. That's one of his main roles, is to reveal Jesus to us. And he wants you to see him in the Word. The Lord wants you to see him. He wants you to see him more than you want to see him. And so I want to tell you, that puts you in a place of leverage, okay? That you open the Word of God and you open up your heart. You say you read listening. And you read embracing the Lord. Hold hands with the Lord while you read. And let him give you revelation of himself. And it's a beautiful description. He did this on the precious little Mr. and Miss Disciple on the way to Emmaus, right after the crucifixion, resurrection. And he hid himself where they didn't know it, and he's walking along. And it's a beautiful description how he took Mr. and Miss Disciple and started from Genesis, and he walked them through the Scriptures, revealing himself in the Scriptures. Man, that's scope for us. That is scope for us. And so I'm telling you, there's so much of Jesus for you to see in Psalm 91. Psalm 91:1 says this, he who dwells. And I want to tell you, I love for you to take it, and the Holy Spirit gives us some license to do this, but to take the Word of God and personalize it. Okay, I've encouraged people over the years to take Psalms and catch the heartbeat of what's being said, and then to personally kind of rewrite it to yourself or to the Lord. And what a beautiful feast and buffet that is before the Lord. That will minister such a joy to your soul and such peace to your soul. But he who dwells, you can put your name in there. T. Hall dwells in the secret place. You see, put your name in there. Make it personal. That's what the Lord wants. He wants this to be personal to you. The secret place of the Most High. T. Hall shall remain stable. He all shall remain fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Now I want to tell you, there's a lot in the Word of God for us, and I'm so excited about you receiving the Word. Thank you for all those of you that are tuning in. Giving a shout out to Brian Naylor today. Saw him in the marketplace this week, and one of the things he says is that, you know what, he's encouraged by the message that Freedom Life puts out. And every now and then I'm in the marketplace. This just happened recently where I'm in the marketplace and I hear somebody holler, Freedom Life! Freedom Life! And so I'm kind of looking around because I recognize the name, right? Pastor Tim Hall. Yes, I am. And they introduce themselves and they watch. You know, this is a testimony of not a man, but Jesus. And the message that you help present to many, many folk that you don't see. And so we thank God for people like Brian Naylor and his family that watch on a regular basis. And we pray for them. We bless them today in the name of Jesus. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. And we want to encourage you, let's be media missionaries. It's not about the man. I told our leadership this morning, People don't tune in to us to get entertained. People don't tune in to us to see somebody good looking or to see somebody skinny. They tune in because they're willing to look past this and see Jesus in the Word. That's what we want, amen? And so help us with that. There are other people that need this message, amen? And thank you for having ears to hear. You know, we've emphasized Psalm 91 for years. And we've also emphasized spiritual exercises. And we believe that's an important part of a disciple in the journey of getting to learn of the Lord. That we have a lifetime of learning before the Lord. And if you ever stop seeking the Lord or ever stop learning or hungry or thirsty for the Lord, then you're amiss. And I just rush to say you're deceived. And it's a lifetime for us of getting to know the Master and the depths of His love greater and greater. But He gives us spiritual exercises to position our heart. For example, we've taught and practiced public communion. We do this every week. But also we encourage the saints to practice personal communion at home with you and the Lord, to commune and to interact and to touch the Lord. And any time in Scripture people reached out to touch the Lord, they received virtue from Him. I want to tell you, that's life. And I want to tell you, it's important. And I want to tell you, this is not something you can do too much. There are times, and you could ask the beautiful blonde, that, you know, I practice communion more than once a day. You say, well, why? Well, I need. Well, I don't do that. Well, do you need? Well, if you need, I want to tell you, He's available. And communion is not the only way. We talk about time in the Word of God, where it's more than just a scripture out of a little bread box thing. You know, it's to encounter the Lord. I even quit referring to it as quiet time. For years, I used the word quiet time, but that turned out to people would equate with just a little devotional. No, 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 no. Have an encounter with the Lord. And you know, there's a lot of spiritual exercises. There's probably no greater way than being in the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit show you Jesus in the Word. And this brings revelation. Okay? I know we need information, but sometimes I think the church has copied the education system of the world where we just want to pack information into people. But information's not the most important part. It's the revelation. And so, yes, we need some information. But, you know, let's see Jesus. And communion, prayer is so important, and prayer is not just listing the do's and don'ts of what we need or the shopping list. Man, we describe it as, you know, the prayer time is love you time. It's love life interaction with the Lord. And when you let, and we teach this really, that even up to 90%, maybe even 95% of your prayer life needs to be love life between you and the Lord. And if 95% of your prayer time is love life, of adoring Him, celebrating Him, honoring Him, and listening to Him. Oh, did you get that? Listening to Him and letting Him love on you. Then I want to tell you, that 5% of sharing your needs before the Lord, it's quick. You can already give thanks, even when you ask, because your heart's in position to receive. Are you listening? Okay, I'm saying a whole lot there, and I can't stop there. But, you know, even church attendance is a good spiritual exercise. And I know that the situation of the last couple years, you know, it seems like if people want an excuse to stay home, they got one. And I'm amazed at the people that talk about, well, we're just being cautious. We're just being cautious. Well, they're not cautious to go on a trip. I'm being serious. Or you say, restaurant, and they beat you there. They say, ball game or concert, and there's no caution. Everybody's packed out. I want to tell you, I don't buy into it. And I want to tell you, heaven doesn't either. But it doesn't release the need that you have of fellowshipping together, interacting with the saints. We need one another. We need the Lord, and we need one another. But I'm telling you, even church attendance is a spiritual exercise. And one of the most important things that I'm sharing with you about all of them, whether it's communion or prayer, praise, in the Word, practicing the prayer protection, our quiet times, church attendance, Thanksgiving, whatever they are, don't let them be a routine. You see, that's the greatest challenge, is to not let it be religious form. You got to keep them fresh. And I think that's the most important thing to help you grow. These spiritual exercises will help position your heart, but it's so important that you approach the Lord in a fresh way, to be an active participator. And let it be about Him is one of the best ways to do that. Don't go into your prayer time making it about you, make it about Him. You don't go into praise time making it about you, make it about Him. You don't go into word time making it about you, make it about Him. You don't read the Bible for mileage, you read for message. Make it about Him. Are you with me on that? And so this is very, very important. Let it be about Him. See, this keeps your heart in right tune, in tuned, to be an active seeker, actively asking, actively knocking for fellowship of His presence. Because I want to tell you, when you have the fellowship of His presence during praise and thanksgiving, you lose time. When you have the active enjoyment of His presence in the Word, it doesn't matter what chapter or verse you've gotten to. Okay? And I know I've been on, I can speak with authority on this because I've been on every part of the scale. I remember at one time in my life that I was dedicated to praying one hour a day. And I would get up early and I would have my time with the Lord and enjoy the Lord. And I want to tell you, I'll never forget. And you don't have to even believe this. It's all right with me. Don't bother me. But I'll never forget one particular morning, I was having such a great time with the Lord and the Word. And I looked at the clock and said, "Oh, Lord, I got to pray for an hour. I'm not looking forward to it." Oh, don't look at me like that. It's okay for us to practice a little openness, isn't it? And I'll never forget, I'm just telling you this, I believe the Lord said to me, "I dread it too. I'm having such a good time with the Lord in the Word, but I had to get in that hour of prayer to get my check off my..." Are you with me? I want to tell you, that's what I'm preaching against this morning. Don't let your spiritual exercises become a routine. A routine is a rut. It's like a grave with both ends knocked out. It's a rut. Okay, there's death there. Let it be life to you by seeking the Lord personally. And I want to tell you, your spiritual exercises will be life to you. And that's the way God designed them. He wants to interact with you. That's what He loves. So let the Holy Spirit be your guide. You know, you're not doing this by yourself. Well, Brother Tim told us to, and we don't know it. No, no, you got the Holy Spirit. Brother Tim's not coming to your house. But the Holy Spirit's already with you. He's in the house. And I want to tell you, He delights in taking you and these spiritual exercises, and He delights in revealing Jesus to you. Is that great? Let's give the Holy Spirit a round of applause and thanksgiving. And, you know, because He honors Jesus. And He wants to show you Jesus. He leads you into personal interaction with Jesus. Let me say it to you like this. I'm trying to say it in different ways so one of them will connect. He will help you connect with Jesus. Isn't that great? I don't always connect. And I've been practicing this a long time. I don't always connect. I'm just telling you, there are moments, there are times, there are mornings like it's like dry cereal. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about cornflakes without milk. And, you know, but I want to tell you something. See, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. And I want to tell you, it's not the Lord that's holding out on Tim. It's not the Lord holding out on you. It's my humanness getting in the way. Are you listening? You understand I wear this stuff. Well, you know I do. But I'm telling you, the humanness can get in the way. But I want to tell you, when you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, I want to tell you, He's reading your heart. And I want to tell you, the very next time that you seek Him, even if it's a different spiritual exercise, it like bluebell. Bluebell on top of the cornflakes. Come on, somebody. And I want to tell you, it's rich, it's rewarding because it's Him. And He loves for you to seek Him. And understand this. It's kind of like, I try to describe it as kind of like hide and seek when I'm playing with my grandgirls. They want to play the hide and seek game. But, you know, the real goal is for them to find me. Okay, I'm not going to go hide myself for an hour or two and them can't find me. They'll forget about me and they'll go play something else. No. What I'm saying to you is that the purpose in playing hide and seek with the grandkids is for them to find you and them celebrate and you celebrate being found and they celebrate finding you. Are you with me? That's the way the Lord is. He's not hiding from you. He's hiding for you to reveal himself to you. Oh, man. It's so personal. And he loves you so much. And he wants to interact with you. Learn how to enjoy his presence through every spiritual exercise. The Bible says physical exercise availeth little, but spiritual exercise availeth much. Tim Hall needs the much. I know you need the much. He designed the much for us. And keep in mind now, because there are some places in the body of Christ out there that teach that you do spiritual exercise in order to earn a spot or to earn favor. And that's not it at all. It's not to earn, okay? It's or to deserve anything. No, it's not. If you're running around with a little tag on your shirt that says, I prayed an hour today, just take it off. Lord, help him. I got testimony on all that stuff. Okay. No. It's not to deserve anything. No. It positions your heart to receive and hear him, to hear him and to see him. And that's what he wants. I got a little picture of this while I was meditating this morning because back in the 60s, we lived in the greater Houston area. And I was a little fella about 8, 9 years old. I remember this event. And, you know, this was before the time where they had remote control TV. Well, my dad had one. He said, boy, go change the channel. Now, we could do that because in the greater Houston area, there was more than one channel in the 60s. And he'd say, boy, turn that. And I'd turn it, and he'd say, take that little antenna up there. You know, it had the rabbit ears. Move it. A little more. Whoa, stay right there. Okay. Now I want to tell you what spiritual exercises are. They're positioning your heart to tune into him. Because he's broadcasting. He's speaking all the time. He's loving on you all the time. But these spiritual exercises will help you tune in those rabbit ears, I think we called them, to see him. And to hear him. And sometimes I'm in places, and you know, I don't try to go in there and correct. I try to point people to Jesus, but I'm in places sometimes where people will say, you know, prayer moves God. Now, I want to tell you, I don't really like that statement. Because where I'm at is that I believe God's already moved. He went from heaven to earth, okay, from earth to the cross. From the cross to the grave, rose again from the grave. He's seated with Father on the throne. He's moved. And now he has sent the Holy Spirit here to dwell with us. God has moved. He's waiting on us to agree, to line up, to cooperate. Heaven is already in agreement for God's best for you, and the price has already been paid. Heaven is waiting on us to come in agreement with Father's will, Jesus' will, Holy Spirit will. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit are already in agreement. They're waiting on us to get in agreement. You see, you have to know the will of God before you can agree and submit to the will of God. Are you with me? That's why we're here. That's why Watchman Nee says that, you know, we come to church not to be entertained, but to grow. This will help you grow. God's already moved. And you know what? He's already moved for you. I want to tell you, Jesus is your big yes from God. You know what prayer does? Prayer moves you. Moves your heart to receive from God. to agree with God's will and word for you and for others. That's what prayer does. Prayer moves your heart to get in line with God and His will. God bless. Hallelujah. So anyway, through Psalm 91, here we go back. The Holy Spirit wants to show us Jesus. And I'm having to say this because, you know, we've been on Psalm 91 for a long time. We refer to it often. And you may, your Bible might even open to Psalm 91. And when you open to Psalm 91 and you've been there and you've read it, and you may go, yeah, got that. No, you can't do that. Because Psalm 91, the Holy Spirit wants to show you Jesus at greater levels than you already know. You understand, you could take those same 16 verses or those same verses over and over again for a month, and you could get greater and greater revelation, because the Holy Spirit wants to show you Jesus at a more personal level than where you are right now. And so I'm going to tell you, that's what's so exciting, because He makes the Word alive. It is alive. It's Jesus. He's the Word. And makes His Word alive in your right now living. Is that great news? I know there's precious people who say, well, I've tried. I tried Psalm 91 as a spiritual exercise. I tried to pray the thing, but it didn't work for me. Let me just encourage you. We're all learners. We're not experts. I know there's people that claim to be experts. I'm not talking about them this morning. I'm talking about us. We're learners, not experts. And so it's very, very important. I don't always lay hold of everything that I know the Lord has for me. I don't always able to claim and put a handle on the Lord's deliverance found in His Word. But I'll tell you, this is what my word is to all of us, and you probably know what I'm going to say. Get back up, get in a huddle. Receive your battle plan from the Lord. Give allegiance to His plan and His Word, and get back on the line of scrimmage and down. Said, HUD one, let's go forward. Let's go again. When you do give allegiance to God's Word over the last play that maybe didn't go well in your life, when you do give allegiance to God's Word, I want to tell you, you shake hell when you come back out of the huddle for the next play and you go forward. You shake hell. I want to tell you what the devil's afraid of. He's not afraid of your education. The devil's not afraid of your bank account. He's not afraid of how many followers you got on the Book of Face. He's not afraid of how skinny you are. I want to tell you what he's afraid of. He's afraid of the Word of God getting planted in your heart. Because he knows if the Word of God gets planted in your heart, the miracles of the kingdom of God are going to multiply through your life. He wants to do everything he can do to keep the Word of God from being firmly rooted in your heart. That's why he will come immediately, according to what the Bible says, and try to steal the Word from your heart. He'll try to keep you out of the Word. He'll bring circumstances into your life when you've received the Word in order to try to get your focus off the Word. He will taunt you with fiery darts. He'll point to outward circumstances that'll say this: you know, you just read Psalm 91 and you still sick. No, he talks like this. He'll say stuff like, where's your God now? It worked for Brother Richie, but it didn't work for you. You know, he'll say stuff like that. Huh? Where's your God now? Psalm 91 works for everybody but you. Huh? Hey, listen. It's very important that you catch this right now. You're at the very crossroad when the enemy starts throwing those darts at you. You have to use your chooser. I'm telling you. You're either going to back away from God's Word, and you're going to believe the lie of the accuser, or you're going to stand in faith and continue to believe his promises no matter what you see or what you feel. You got to use your chooser. Now, this is where, when I am with people and share statements of faith and share what the Word says, this is where people will say stuff like this. And I want to say this to you, because this is what people will say in order to get you from faith to doubt. All right? Well, Brother Tim, how does this work practically in the real world? Oh, come on now. Wait, there's more. And I want to tell you what it spells, compromise. Okay? Listen at this one. Now, Brother Tim, I know that's what the scripture says, but what's the balance? Bring it into balance. Let me just say this. You don't reason the word. You don't reason the word. You say, well, I don't understand how it works. Well, I don't understand how it all works either, but what the word says is true. And my reasoning and the world's reasoning and everybody else's reasoning is a lie if it goes against what that word says. And so who are you going to agree with? Whose report are you going to believe? The report of the Lord or the report of Dr. So-and-so? Because, you know, there's a lot of doctors out there saying a lot of things. I don't care how many degrees you get. You can have 32 degrees and be frozen, right? Well, I'm here to tell you there's more than just information, education, and it's revelation. And you need to let God have the first word and the last word. What does the word say? Well, that's what you need to say. Well, it's not going to make sense to everybody. People are going to say, you're a little out of balance. Stand in faith and continue to believe his promises, and you got to speak what he is. That's what verse 2 says in Psalm 91. Hold on to the word, saints. Keep it simple, saints. Whatever your experience has been, listen at this. Don't let the last play keep you from the next touchdown. Man, I want to tell you, that make me want to shout. I'm going to, hallelujah to the Lord. I'm going to say it again. I like it so much. Don't let the last play keep you from the next touchdown. We falter, we stumble, we fumble. But the word of God stands unshakable and eternal. Thank you, First Lady, for saying amen. Because that's where our allegiance has got to be. Don't let your past experience keep you from receiving and enjoying his divine protection, his divine fellowship, his divine blessing, and abundant living of the right now. Hold on to his word, practice his presence, persevere in your faith, and you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow into more reality of his promises in our journey. We're going to grow into the more, because he's the God of the much more, and he wants to lead us into the more. I want to tell you, even in the promised land, that we see in the Old Testament. You know, the Lord would not let them conquer all the enemies in one day. As a matter of fact, it's described that they would conquer the enemy little by little. They could not conquer more than they would occupy. You see that? So how much are we occupying? I know we want to talk victory. I know we want to talk overcoming. But you know what? In order to keep what we walk in, we got to walk in it. We got to occupy what we receive. Jesus said, occupy till he comes. And so it's something to walk in. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more for us to walk in. But I want to tell you, this is why we walk into greater depth of the promised land little by little. And many of our enemies are conquered little by little so we can occupy what we conquer. Amen, Brother Tim. So let's hold on to his word. I want to tell you, let's let his word minister to you. Listen to this out of John 5. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. This is like double yes from God. When he says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, as verily, verily I say unto you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord. Now it's important for disciples to see this picture of how Jesus operated. Because the way Jesus operated on this earth, he is showing us, he's modeling for us, this is how we're to operate on this earth. Are you there? The Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord. That he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. I want to tell you, this is not your journey to decide what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, the way you want to do it. It's not about you. Okay? If you will make this journey about him, you will see more of him in your journey. The Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord, but he's able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. Now, the reason this is so important is because he's showing us how, he's showing us as disciples how he operated. Because then later on, he's going to say, and this is the way you're to operate. In the same way, we're to look at the Father. We're to look at Jesus. We're to listen to the Holy Spirit about what God's doing. And let's do what God's doing, not what we want, but what God wants. Wow. The Father dearly loves the Son. And I want to tell you, this is why this is the best way. Because his love is in, about, and all around his works. The Father dearly loves his Son. And later on, Jesus says, and I have loved you with the same love the Father's loved me. Is that beautiful? And discloses to him, shows him everything that he himself does. He's not hiding from you, he's hiding for you. He wants to reveal. But he only reveals those that seek. Are you listening? Are you seeking? Are you growing? Are you learning? He will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. That is wow factor. Now, let me bring it down to our level. Because what he's saying now, and you remember he has said it to us, that you will do greater things than these. And so, see, he's passing this right on down to us. And he will let us see and do greater things so that now others out there will see and be full of wonder and amazement, and they will see, wow factor, God's real. Okay? It's the same mode of operate. Okay? Operation. And your journey, I'm going to just put it to you in Tim language, your journey is going to require faith. You're not going to be able to live the Christian life without faith. Okay? Hey, you have to have faith for the impossible. I'm telling you, the Christian life is impossible for you to live without faith. Hey, it's going to require supernatural. In order to fulfill and accomplish God's will and God's purpose on this earth, it's going to require the supernatural. The supernatural requires faith. We got a lot to grow in. But he's showing us his way of operation right here. Are you excited about this? Because you're included in on this. Wow, I love them, don't you? Look at verse 24, says this. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words. Ooh, man, oh, this is so exciting. The person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him. Do you see relationship in that? That's more than someone who prays over a meal. This is talking about allegiance. This is talking about commitment. This is talking about lifestyle. It's more than just having a sticker on your bumper. The one who believes, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him who sent me has now possesses eternal life. And he does not come into judgment. Wait a minute. You have relationship, commitment to the Lord. I want to tell you, no judgment to you. I want to tell you, when you see that, it'll help set you free. Does not incur sentence of judgment, will not come under condemnation, but he has already passed over out of death into life. I want to tell you, that's exciting. I want to tell you, that's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that believe, because that condemnation mess has already been cured and healed and delivered by the blood of Jesus. You're a forgiven people. I'm looking at forgiven people. You've given your life to Jesus. You're a forgiven person, and you will not come under judgment or condemnation. I don't know why we think we have the right to do that to each other when the King of Kings says you're forgiven. That ought to be enough for us. But I'm here to tell you, you've already passed over out of death into life. What that means is that I want to tell you, and you look out here, you look around you out on the highway in the neighborhoods and the workplaces, the marketplaces, there's zombies out there. It's the walking dead out there, but that's not you. The walking dead don't talk about life. They talk about death, but that's not you. The zombies out there are negative-oriented, gloom and doom-oriented, but that's not you. You're not a zombie. You are a person of resurrection life. You've already passed from death unto life. You're a lifestyle resurrection life human. You're not just a regular human. You're full of Zoe life. Somebody say amen. And so be encouraged, even though you may have gone through a very difficult battle and you may feel defeated, or you may have had a tragic event, or you may be listening right now and you've got some disappointment in your life. You know what? We got compassion for one another. And I want to tell you, love in action. There's always room for love in action. I know it doesn't sound sensitive, but better sooner than later. We must lean on His promises as true and not our experiences. Our experience can be a miss, but God is true and His promises are true. The Word of God says that in this world we're going to have trouble. Isn't that the truth? Oh yeah, there's a big amen on that one. Okay, John 16:33. I have told you these things. In other words, it's His words. It's His words. So that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And so if you're a believer who's being swayed to and fro, you need to go back to the words of Jesus. Hey, where's the value of the words of Jesus in your life? Because if you're receiving the words of Jesus, you're going to have peace. His words will produce peace and confidence. Amen, Brother Tim. That's the Bible right there. Well, that's, you know, you don't have to call an 800 number. It's all right if you do, but you don't have to. If you get in the words of Jesus, He'll give you perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But because of the words that He says that we can take in and soak in and digest, we can be of good cheer. Amplified says, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. I want to tell you, in the midst of tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration, we can give a shout of cheer. I want to tell you, they don't have to hand out pamphlets at the ball game that says that, you know what, when your team's down and they're rallying for a score, you need to make yourself get up and cheer. They don't have to coach you to do that. It's in you. Why? Because you're believing the best. You got win on your mind. He says, I have overcome the world. That ought to be enough right there. Okay, He says, I've overcome the world. Well, Brother Tim, I haven't. Well, I haven't either, but I want to tell you, we're on the winning team. And I want to tell you, that is our position. And so let's practice our position till our position becomes a part of our practice. Amen. I have overcome the world. Listen to what this says. I have deprived it of power to harm you. So what are we scared of? I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I want to tell you, that says that we got victory. Your future's so bright. I know you may have come out of a dark place. You may be there right now. I'm asking you to get your focus on Jesus. Because with Jesus, your future is so bright, you need sunglasses to look at direction. Because He has conquered it for you. The despair is temporary. The fact that God says He will deliver us from troubles means that we will face them. Remember, He's the God of the much more. The more we hear the Word, the more we sow the Word in our hearts, the more we apply His Word to our lives and renew our minds with His Word, guess what? According to the Bible, we're transformed. We grow, get this, we grow into the more of His promised land for us in this journey. Are you interested in that? He's interested for you. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith cometh by hearing. What is told and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah Himself. It's the words of Jesus that you need to be soaking up. What did Jesus say about it? Then that's what you need to hear over and over and over again. That's what you need to replay on the DVR of your mind, is the words of Jesus concerning your situation. You need to run over and over again. The more we hear, the more we believe. The more we approach Him with hungry and thirsty hearts, the more we see and hear Him. Practice His presence with spiritual exercises that position your heart to keep on asking. That's really the way the Greek brings it out, to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And He will personally provide a feast fellowship with you. according to the Bible, even in the very presence of your enemies. Is that great news? Because Jesus is your shepherd. He feeds, he guides, he shields, and he protects. He's good at his part. Many times in your life, he's protected you from destruction, and you're not even aware of it. Your shepherd has put you at the right place at the right time, and he shielded you. He is your divine protection. He is your secret place. Let's camp out in the secret place. Now, let me say this, because there are some folk, and we don't name names or throw stones, but there are some folk who preach that the secret place is only for the elite believers. The elite believers. I don't like that. I want to tell you that's wrong. The secret place is for every believer. Jesus paid the price on the cross for complete and continual access to his protective presence. The promises of his word are true for you in 22. It's not earned. It's received by grace through faith. The promise is paid for by Jesus on the cross for you. But his word must be applied, must be a practice, must be appropriate. All of us, that means you, have access to his promises. The door to the secret place is already unlocked. Do you like that? The door to the secret place is already open for you. It's open. For all who are in Christ, it's part of your salvation package. When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, once you're a born-again believer, our Heavenly Father sees you in Christ. You're safe. You're protected. You're secure in the hiding place. But I want to tell you, it's important for you to believe it and receive it. The Lord protected Noah. I'm going to end with this. The Lord protected Noah when the flood waters came. He was safe in the ark. God was the provider and the protector. The ark was God's plan. Noah had a choice. This ought to sound familiar. Noah had a choice to believe and receive God's protection. Noah applied God's plan. Isn't that what we're teaching you to do? Noah applied God's plan for protection for him and his family to be in the secret place. Noah wasn't perfect. God saw him as righteous because of his faith. He sees you righteous because of your faith in his son. Hebrews 11:7, prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which yet there was no visible sign. This stuff had never happened before. It was not on any meteorologist forecast. He took heed. In other words, he obeyed God. He humbled himself before God and he obeyed God. Diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief. In other words, he said no to their way of thinking. He said no to their human reasoning. He said no to the laughter of people who said nothing like this has ever happened before. He became an heir and a possessor of righteousness. Because he had faith in God. When the flood came, everybody outside the ark died, but Noah and his family were protected and saved. Why? Because they were in the ark, which is the type of Christ, who is our salvation. Acts 4:12 says this, and I'm finishing up, so you got to stay with me, okay? There is salvation, Acts 4:12, there is salvation in and through no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. The ark, it didn't have windows on the sides. According to what the Bible says, there were windows, but they were like slots way up at the top. We have a problem because we have windows that we stay glued to. Are you with me? They're called screens. Our windows are screens. And you know what? God designed those windows so that they wouldn't see the darkness. Noah and his family wouldn't focus on the storms. They wouldn't see the waves, the wind, the humans, the destruction. They were to look up for their rescue. And that's what the Word of God says for us. We're to look up to see the Lord's return. We don't even focus on death. We're to focus on His return. And we look forward to His rescue. And so these screens cause us a problem. He wants you to look up. Understand, the ark went through storms, am I right? And the storm waters, they crashed against the ark. I don't know how many times. I wasn't there. But I bet that Noah fell a number of times. Ark being hit by the waves, being tossed to and fro. But every time that Noah lost his balance and fell, he fell in the ark, never out of the ark. During this journey, storms come, devil tempts you. There's times that humans fall. Listen, if you know Christ, He's your ark. You don't fall out of your salvation in the ark of Jesus. You may fall, but you're still in Christ. Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked are overthrown by calamity. A believer does not fall in and out of righteousness. It's not because of your report card. It's because of His. Romans 5:17, for because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, His unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in right standing with Himself, we will reign as kings in heaven. What? In life. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is a gift from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our ark. This reveals that even though we may fail from time to time because we are imperfect human beings, we're still in Christ our ark, and we do not lose His blessing or lose His protection. That kind of love, I want to tell you, when that love is real with you, it makes you love Him back, not run off and live in the wild, wild west. Knowing you're righteous in Christ makes you want to live for Him and to honor Him. Man, I've got more to share and don't have time to share it. Let me just tell you this part. This is Titus. And this will be our last scriptures. For the grace of God. Who's the grace of God? Jesus, that's right. Man, I tell you what, we preach on grace a lot around here. How do you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God, Jesus, His unmerited favor and blessing has come forward, has appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us what? Grace has. Grace will train you. You say, well, we're free. We're free to just go to be me however I want. No, you're not. I want to tell you, real grace, real Jesus, real life with the Lord delivers you from sin and gives you eternal salvation, and it will train you to reject and renounce all ungodliness. Wow. And worldly passionate desires. Now, see, this is what gets me, because there's Christians who have worldly passionate desires. And you say, well, it's not really sin. Well, it is if you have a worldly, passionate desire that takes you from Jesus. I want to tell you what you don't know. You haven't received grace. You're not letting grace train you. Because grace will train you to renounce all ungodliness and those worldly, passionate desires, and will cause you to live a discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritual whole life in this present world. I want to tell you, the truth will cause us to value Him. Now, I got to stop. Let me just encourage you with this. We give time, we give attention, and we give allegiance to what we value. Wait a minute. If you value Jesus, He's in charge of your calendar. If you value Jesus, He's in the primary focus of your attention. If you value Jesus, He is your first allegiance. And when we put Him first, all these things shall be added unto you. That's our Lord. That's for you. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you're our ark of salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're our righteousness, that it's a gift. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your great grace sets us free to say no to sin and yes to godly living. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your grace teaches us how to walk with you, how to live a life that brings you honor and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your ever abounding grace continues to set us free. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord.